We're about to meet a person who is part of a word in the Oxford Dictionary, in any dictionary that you care to look. His name is Neil Phillips, and he is a co-creator and co-founder of a sport called Rogaining. Welcome, Neil.
Good morning, David. Thank you.
That's very true what I say, that in fact you are the N-E, in fact, in Rogaining. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
So tell us about how the sport was. I mean, I'm sure you've told this 10,000 times, but a lot of people would probably think that Rogaine maybe is some kind of hair care product and never heard of Rogaining. Let us enlighten these people. What is Rogaining and how did you become a co-founder?
Well, Rogaining's the sport of cross-country navigation. So it's teams of two, maybe more, and we compete over a period of perhaps of 24 hours in different forest countries of Victoria or elsewhere around the world.
Now, that to me sounds like a description of orienteering. How does Rogaining and orienteering differ?
There's certainly overlap between the two. Some people are very good at both. Some of the skills are the same. Orienteering is done by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a set course and you have to go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, etc. And you might finish in 1 or 2 hours.
Right.
Rogaining is a team sport. The longer championship form of the event goes to the 24 hours. You're in teams for safety, among other reasons. You don't have to go anywhere. And so you've got perhaps an area of 15 kilometres by 15 kilometres. You choose where you go. And depending which controls you visit successfully determines how you perform.
All right. Now, here's the scenario, Neil. Neil Phillips, co-founder of Rogaining. I want to step into a circle, we all do, of Rogainers, and we wish to seem as though we belong. How can we bluff our way into that belief? What's some of the bluffers' tips that you can tell us about the inside info of Rogaining?
I think it's important to distinguish it from the American hair product, which actually came along later. Our Rogaining is cross-country navigation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. It's a team sport, and it requires navigational skills and fitness as well.
Okay, so they're two vital elements, yes? Not a hair product, A. B, you need to be fit, and you also need to be very shrewd with compass and map reading. So both of which are very high presumptions. That's good to know. What about...
I think coming across with knowledge about how the sport started, yes, mm-hmm. It started in Melbourne, in Victoria, actually in 1976. The first event was at Tallaroook then, and the Surrey Thomas Rovers were a key part of, well, they actually organised that event with alliances with the universities.
And you were part of that, the whole sort of trailblazing experience?
Yeah, I had gone on a 24-hour walk run by Melbourne University previously with a colleague of mine from Surrey Thomas Rovers, and we just thought that was fantastic. And we said, this is the sort of thing we should run within scouting and for our friends and general public.
Okay, so that's how it started. That's how we distinguish it from orienteering and from hair products. What is the inside info when it comes to competing?
I think competing is two or three different things. One is the navigation, and that cannot be underestimated. We're navigating possibly in open country during the day, but it might be forest country during the night. And one should pick and choose, depending on one's skill, where one goes. On the longer events, the cooperation, the teamwork, the camaraderie between two people or three people is absolutely key. 2 o'clock in the morning, there's no point spitting the dummy and saying, you've mucked up that. One's got to work together as a team and say, we have mucked this up, but we've got to get back on track.
So choose your teammates wisely, not just for their compass skills, but you need some kind of compatibility.
You have to, and at 2 or 3 in the morning when things are going badly, pull out a treat from the pack, something nice to eat, just to get back onto track. I think the fitness side is very much, take it as it comes. Myself and others use the next Rogaine as a bit of incentive to keep fit. You work towards the next one so you don't let your partner down. At the elite level, the world champions obviously are not professional regainers, but semi-professional athletes, and clearly very, very good.
So this sport that was born in Tallaroorook is now being played, or now being people are competing in many, many other countries. Is that right, Neil?
Yes, it's spread basically since the late 80s onwards. By that stage, it was already in all states of Australia. We've had an effort to take it to other countries, and it's now very active in lots of countries in Europe, North America, South America, and Asia.
Pretty exciting.
It's nice to see it go to those places, but more than that, it means you can sort of line up a holiday and saying, well, I see the next event, middle of this year, is in Romania. I'm going to go to that. That's their first event, and I'll enter it.
It's tax deductible too, Neil, because you're the co-founder of the sport. So, I mean, you're just basically seeing that the product is still being responsibly used.
I wish it was like that.
Because, in fact, you are the N in Rogaining, and we should also mention there's Rod and Gail involved who make up the word. Is that right?
That's correct.
So, and Gail is your sister?
Both of those are siblings.
Oh, yeah. So three of you are siblings. Gosh, that's right. You're a competitive family, the Phillips family.
Not really.
Now, what's the last tip when it comes to seeming as though you are a real Rogainer when in fact you are just a furphy with a compass? How can I make that link, that leap, into seeming a real Rogainer?
I think it then gets to the usual sort of bragging, if we call that, about where I've been to. I've been to this event, I've been to that event, and if a person's in a social situation and you can say, I went to the event at Tallaroorook last weekend, I'm regaining in some part of Europe next year, then that's part of it too.
And if I'm really just trying to sustain this brag, what would be a good score or a good accomplishment that would seem plausible?
It varies quite a lot from event to event. I mean, around Victoria, we tend to say something like 1,500, 2,000 points is a good score. The winners obviously get a lot more, and some people are very happy with less than that.
Oh, no. I'd only settle for about 1,700 as a regainer myself. And, of course, I was at Tallaroorook it was a couple of weekends ago now. I can't remember the exact date, but I did pretty well. It's quite hot out there. But the team, I thought, combined beautifully. Did that sound credible?
I would look at that and I'd say, well, the guy did go there and he's obviously pretty keen and he knows how to navigate because he's not going to get that score without being able to use map and compass.
And I'm also going to say it is a pleasure to talk to Neil Phillips. I feel like I'm speaking to Rogaining royalty here. The N in Rogaine, it's been wonderful to suddenly feel as though I have picked up a new skill in about 9.5 minutes. Thank you so much for joining us on today's Bluffer's Guide, Neil.
Thank you, David.
Neil Phillips, co-founder of Rogaining, way back in 1976 in Tallaroorook. Who would have thought? Three siblings. And suddenly that's a sport born in Victoria. It is played around the world.